Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, and Lucy Fema. Actually, as I was saying it, I was thinking, and Fabulous Febreze.
Oh, I've done it again, haven't I?
Done it again. I don't know, like, is it like in your subconscious?
I don't know.
But then I couldn't say your name anyway, so.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, look.
There you go.
Put them at the top of the bill. Hang on, let me do that again. Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with him, Fabulous Febreze, and me, Harriet Carmichael, and her, Lucy Freeman. Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap of what happened this week in Ambridge.
This week was sponsored by me mishearing things and lots of borderline sectionable behaviour on the part of most of the residents of Ambridge. We began the week with Linda and Lillian reflecting on the life of the Queen and how much they'll miss her. Linda said the Queen would very much miss having her input and guidance, and obviously it's all put the kibosh on the Queen ever opening the village fete, which is a little bit disappointing of the Queen, but there we are. No sense of flipping duty, some people. Chelsea's back, all blaked up to the eyeballs. Lovely to have her back, but I was surprised that Tracy so quickly accepted that Blake was not the father, and also that she didn't say, "Well, why the bloody hell did you not tell me where Chelsea was, Blake, to stop me worrying myself sick?" But I'm glad she accepted it so rapidly before Jazza got hold of him and pulled his head off. Anyway, Chelsea was back to normal in no time after hugging Tracy and telling her she loved her, was saying, "Oh my God, tell me you did, and oh God, Mum," within 7 minutes. Yet another misunderstanding for me over the vegan cafe at Blake's work. He said he'd tried lots of new things, including counselling, and I thought it was some kind of chickpea thing, and then realised he was saying counselling. Justin and Linda have decided to sponsor a dog shelter, bewilderingly. Linda was whittering on about this dog shelter, one that I believed was called Monty's Own Dog Shelter, until I realised it was Monty's Old Dog Shelter. I clearly need my ears syringing, or they need to stop springing new things on me. I am too old. Lillian has an embarrassing kettle, apparently, and seems to be driving Justin so bonkers he has fallen deeply in love with Linda and does not wish to be separated from her. Of course, it could also be the prospect of cinnamon chicken, which sounds absolutely appalling. He then started talking about Glenda Belcher, which I thought briefly may have been an after effect of cinnamon chicken. Blake and Linda had a heart-to-heart over Philip Moss. "I feel so stupid," said Blake. "Nonsense," said Linda. "Is Kirsty stupid? Is the whole village stupid?" "Well, yeah," said Blake. "I'm not sure if it was my imagination or not, but Linda started to sound very seductive and cooey in all her scenes this week. With everyone from Justin to Blake. Is Linda the new village femme fatale? Will she be taken up the orangery by Freddie in the near future? Sabrina Thwaite will be fuming. Blimey. Blake said Jimus and Alistair gave him money for a train, apparently. Crikey, I had no idea how much a train costs, but I bet it's loads and it's very generous of them. But I'm not sure where Blake would even put it, as he doesn't even have room for a cot. David is still behaving in a very, very peculiar fashion. Josh had a baby swing toy called, unimaginatively, Swingy, which David ran over with a lawnmower. How do you run over something that's being swung in the air, unless he had a flymo and was flailing about with it near a toddler holding a cuddly toy? David and Ruth have decided to rent out Josh and Ben's room to bed and breakfast guests, so they've registered with the local authority and carried out the fire risk assessment and registered with HMRC and got the relevant food safety regulations covered. Ha 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 ha! No, they've chopped up a child's soft toy with a hover mower. There then followed one of the most tedious scenes I have ever heard on The Archers, ever. And I remember the great Pip social media explanation episode. The sodding diary and the Janet Adkins bit. What on earth was the point? Yeah. My favourite bit was Josh saying that the two of them reminded him of the famous five. What? Then David went to the pub, had half a pint and sounded absolutely trollied. I mean, I'm no Oliver Reed, but I can manage more than half a pint, for goodness sake. He then had one more sip and entirely sobered up. It can't have been a continuity thing, as Kenton then commented on him sounding absolutely mullered, so the whole thing was completely baffling. Russ popped back to Lolo to have an argument with Lily, but sadly he still hasn't managed to get rid of the boiling roast potato that's been stuck in his gob for the last 2 years. He did manage, however, not to just throw his toys out of the pram, but to burn the pram to the ground and dance on the ashes. He is now selling the portrait he did of Lily, but has renamed it Pooface and has drawn a beard and glasses on it. In the midst of all this utter lunacy, we had one small moment of pure perfection. Leonard and Tracy in the bull. Leonard paying in cash for half a lager dash. Oh, bless him. Carry on, Britain. Queuing, polishing the fittings, stopping children at a holiday camp doing archery because it's what she would have wanted, burying pants and ordering lager dashes. Oh, we do do this sort of pageantry so well, you know. The end.
Yeah, I loved that scene with Leonard.
Wasn't it nice?
You're right, he was basically the only sane person in it this week. Everyone else was sort of running around doing with straight... Maybe it's because the Queen died. There was just a lot of strange behaviour.
There was definitely something in the air because was mad. I spent this week, I think I went, what? More than I have ever done of a lifetime listening to the Archers.
I wondered if they'd had to cut inappropriate scenes and then they had to just replace them with stuff on the cutting room floor, which
that's
was just
a very
a
good
pile
so
of shit.
So you think the Janet Adkins nonsense was
I didn't mind the Janet Adkins. To be honest, there were so many Janet Adkins, Eleanor Dubery, blurdy blur. I found it all a bit confusing because when you said Janet Adkins, I thought you were talking about I thought you were talking about that Glenda Belcher. Because I sort of zoned out on that as well. But no, I didn't mind the Janet Adkins, but the Famous Five scene in the loft, I didn't where's it going? That's what I was thinking.
Well, I don't think it's going anywhere. I think you're right. I think it was a filler. And I think all that stuff about... How many more times can he say he's going to miss Shula? We get it. You're going to miss Shula.
Also,
she's not dying. She's not going to Zurich and never coming back. She's going to sodding Sunderland.
Well, you'd think that scene was leading up to something revelatory.
Yeah.
Like that Janet Adkins is the mother of...
Yeah.
I don't know, Pip or something that there was going to be a massive... Rather than they just were pulling out his old jizzy porn mags and sort of like, why would you want to put your hands on a teenager's
when he said he's got a picture of Susie Quattro on the front, God. I thought, uh-oh.
Get your fingers off that because that will be crusty. It was... Didn't you think there's something's coming out of coming out of the woodwork?
Yeah.
But then it didn't. And no. I don't mind David because I think he just had his Kenton Bantz voice on.
Right.
He puts on a special voice when he talks to Kenton. Yeah. Because I think him and Kenton genuinely love those acting scenes together.
Mm-hmm.
And because the one recently was a bit of a success, wasn't it? There is a good chemistry between them.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like they're getting their own special... section,
the Kenny
of the
and Dave
now.
Show,
exactly. Mm. So there'll be a few Kenny and Dave bants, you know, sort of bits and bobs coming up. But what was the point? And then it must be to do with Shula, because then there was I don't know. I think it's because Kenton was like, I've got a great idea for a Shula send off.
Mm.
Maybe they're going to. Well,
I hope they're not going to find her teenage diary and read it.
Exactly.
Can you imagine?
Or they're going to do like a This Is Your Life.
Yeah.
And bring people like Janet Adkins back.
Yeah.
And, she was all Shula's ex-lovers. So there'll be barely room in the stable.
I was going to say, I think we're not looking at the village hall anymore. I think we're looking at the...
Well,
there's
got to be
stadium
room for
some Birmingham
as well, hasn't there? Probably. And here's your first lover, Silver. G up there, Silver. Oh, gosh. That really broke me in. So yeah, I didn't mind. It was just really confusing. But then, yeah, so I thought it must be because it felt a bit mix and match, didn't it, this week?
It was all over the shop like a madwoman's shit. It really was.
Go on.
And this it's not my imagination that Linda's now started sounding like the Cadbury's Caramel Rabbit, is it?
When she had that scene with Blake.
Yeah.
He went something like, yeah, oh, I'm so sorry. And she went, never mind, Blake. Or, yes, Blake. Didn't she?
He said, oh, I don't know if he thinks I'm, oh, she's amazing. And she went, no, you're amazing, Blake. And I thought, where is her hand at this moment? Because
it was really disconcerting, wasn't it? I noticed it too.
She's an 18-year-old woman in a wig.
Yeah, but it's because she's getting attention from Justin.
Yes. She's gone all... And we haven't heard from Robert for ages.
Also, I'm sorry, but what's happened to Justin? Was he always this vacant buffoon? Because they've turned him into a panto character, haven't they? He didn't use... He used to be a bit sharper, didn't he? Or...
Yes, he did. And also, they're trying to make him into Mr. Uber-tory. So he's saying, you know, oh, no, I don't agree with... No, charitable donation's fine, because that's free will. But when she was talking about dog licences... And he said,
He
said, nope, that's taxation by another name. Yeah. And then he said, well, people who can't afford
dogs.
Yes. They've sort of created the, he's like, yeah, Mr. Pantomime Tory.
He's basically Squire Moneybags.
Yes.
And
exactly.
Who goes off with Widow Twankey at the end. And who gets, like, they give him one, he's the most boring character, but they need him for narrative purposes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird, though, that he's definitely changed. But also because I suppose if he wasn't sort of a bit Durbrainy, he wouldn't have formed this crush on. Well, I mean, is it sweet, the crush on Linda?
I can't tell if it is a crush on Linda or just a desperate desire to get away from Lillian.
I mean, I like the fact that Lillian's just sort of, ugh, darling, just stop being a dick, and sort of letting them get on with it. But no, it is a bit. It's sort of spark between them.
Yeah, it's sort of exasperation. She's not jealous. She's just like, oh, what are you two doing?
Yeah.
Because she knows they're both
just
nuts.
Just leave me to my smart tap, darling. Oh, well, I was gutted they didn't do more kitchen stuff. I feel that's really been just glossed over.
It would have been like one of those posh car adverts where you hear the door gliding shut and they're just going...
Oh, I would love to hear all that. I want more Renault. I want more. I want before and after pictures, which they haven't provided on the website. They're literally missing a massive trick here. Because you only get followers if you're doing a renovation.
Yes.
Hashtag Renault, you will get hundreds more followers.
Yes.
But there's nothing. All we've heard about is the smart tap.
And why did he want to get a takeaway and not actually cook in this kitchen? Well, apart from the fact that she was making cinnamon chicken, which just sounds appalling.
Well, actually, Lucy, I think if you have a lot of Ottolenghi recipe books like I do, he does use a lot of cinnamon with chicken, but also a bit of cardamom, a bit of quite a lot of onion, a few barberries, and you can make something dazzling. So I assumed there was more ingredients than just cinnamon powdered chicken.
I hate Ottolenghi. I hate going round the supermarket with this this shopping list that's like four pages of A4 stapled together.
Yeah, it makes
trying
you feel
to
good.
Find, saying to the lady, sorry, it's me again, sorry. Have you got... Apparently it's got to be organic.
No, I don't want it crushed. Sorry, it doesn't taste the same if it's crushed. Yeah. I need it whole.
No, do not turmeric. No, actual turmeric root. Have you got that? No. Okay. No. Why would you? No,
a juniper.
Just one. Don't give me loads because I'm only...
How much? £6.50 for one berry.
There's him with his flipping insane ingredients that go on forever. And then you use
sexy.
You think, right, okay, so I've just driven 7 miles to pick up some hemp or whatever it is that's going in this. And then, you know, turtle poo or something. And then it says half a pinch. And you think, well, then I could have left that out. Who would have known whether that was in it or not?
Yeah, he's not one of those chefs that says, don't worry if you haven't got it, leave it out. It'll taste just as good with onion.
You will ruin it unless you put the turtle poo in it. That is very important.
But I had a friend who, you know, when Ottolenghi was massive about 10 years ago?
Yeah.
And he made, I don't think he was a particularly experienced cook, but we went round to his for dinner, and he definitely won't be listening to this. He made an Ottolenghi recipe, which was pork, and one of the ingredients was rose water, but he'd massively overdone the rose water. So it was basically undercooked pork, which tasted like Turkish delight. It was so it was genuinely inedible, and you could look around the table and people were sort of like, you know, when you're chewing and you can't bear to swallow it,
The
texture was disgusting. So you've got to be confident if you're going with you've got to be precise with Ottolenghi, I think. But anyway,
there's him, and then there's I like Nigel Slater, there's Nigella, who gives you a recipe for, you know, Victoria sponge cake, and you think, yeah, okay, butter, sugar, da, 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 da. And then she'll suddenly throw in something like half a teaspoon of baked beans. And you think, what? There's always this random, really surprising WD-40, whatever she's got.
Well, that's because she's like not very imaginative with her recipes. So she's just got them from a friend or another recipe book or Nigel Slater, and then just added an extra ingredient.
But it's always a really insane ingredient. Tomato soup with pineapple. What? No!
So good, Lucy. No, I love Nigella. I've got all
her
books.
Like Linda then. That's what Linda's trying to do.
I actually can't do a sexy Linda. Only Linda can do sexy Linda. Turning to Lillian if I try and do a sexy Linda.
You're amazing. You're
amazing.
You
are Nigella. Give me your baked bean chocolate gatto any day. Is it Nigella that does the Guinness cake? Who does the Guinness cake?
Yes, and she cooks ham in Coke and everything.
Yeah? Yeah. So good. It's so good. I love Nigella. Mm. I love Nigel. I think Nigel Slater's my fave, actually.
Yeah.
Because he's no nonsense.
Yes.
He's just what you want.
He said.
And he's the sort of guy that will go, do you know what? If you haven't got it, don't worry.
Yeah.
Just use something else.
But he does make you feel guilty that you're not mindfully doing everything and enjoying it, you know. So smell the lemon.
You're stressed. That's the thing.
Nigel, you haven't got children and you do this for a living. I'm trying to do this while throwing the ball for the dog at the same time.
While my children are eating breakfast around me.
Exactly, yes.
And it's 2 p.m.
And I've put my foot in the basket of dirty washing twice now and upset the cat's water all over my slipper. So I bet you're not doing that.
Dog poo on the carpet.
Yes, exactly.
I'm with you. But that's probably why Justin wants takeaway. Maybe Lillian gets stressed when she's doing complicated recipes.
Yes.
And then there's a lot of mess.
Yeah.
And to be honest, takeaway is easier, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you've got a brand new kitchen, you don't really want to mess it up turmeric in
I was gutted the first time I used the grill in my new cooker. I was like, oh no, now it will never look that nice ever
you've
again.
You've ruined it forever. And now it stinks. Must be awful to have a new kitchen.
Oh, it's terrible.
Why would you do it?
Harriet, I can't tell you how awful it is having a brand new kitchen. It's really dreadful.
What is a smart tap? Do you think it's just a hot water one?
Well, my one has got boiling, hot, cold, boiling water and fizzy water.
That is smart.
And filtered water.
Fizzy water as well?
Yes.
So you don't have to use your soda stream?
No.
Oh, that's the dream, Lucy. That's the dream.
I love fizzy water. I don't drink enough water unless I have fizzy water because I forget, because flat water is boring.
It's boring.
Yes.
I love fizzy water too. I think that's why my teeth are all falling out. Because they say it's really bad for your teeth, don't they?
Really?
Yeah. Everyone, because I love fizzy water and everyone's like, oh, that wing of the thing. Why wouldn't it be? Because it's got...
A, I've never heard that before. And B, aren't falling out?
Well, they're a bit wobbly, actually.
Are they?
Yeah, I've got a wobbly bottom tooth. But I've had it for 20 years. It's been wobbly for ages.
Well, how long have you been drinking sparkling water?
About 20 years.
Oh, wow. There's a link. Right, that's it.
If we have any dentists,
if anyone knows what they're talking about, please don't hesitate to turn off this drivel and go and do something else where your talents will be rewarded.
Also, because a dentist in the Arches is long overdue.
Can you imagine though the seeds? They'd be like, Sue, how do you?
Maybe that's why.
Yeah, upper two, three, slight discoloration.
It would have been good for the lockdown scene.
Yeah.
Monologues.
Sue, how are you, Linda?
Lucy, we have to big up Laurie.
Laurie is a sodding genius.
Sodding genius.
Sodding genius.
You, what's the word? She
was as surprised as we were, by the way, that she got it right. Yeah.
She
said, really? What, was I right? I'm going to go listen now. And I didn't spoiler it. I just put, Laurie, you are a genius. So anybody that hadn't heard wouldn't have known.
But in a way, you were like, of course. But then I thought it was a bit of an anticlimax, didn't you?
Well,
I mean, I would have been a bit like, what, the police were looking for me. The whole village were looking
for
me. People have spent tens of pounds on photocopying. Yeah. And I was just at Blake's house.
Yeah. And Blake didn't think to ring Chelsea and say, look, and ring Tracy and say, look, she's here. She's fine. She doesn't want to come back yet. So just, you know. Because he had Jazza's number. He had everybody's number.
Or I think they probably could have tracked her down, couldn't they?
Mm.
Whatever. It's dramas, I know. Yeah. But I would have liked a bit more drama. I would have liked a bit more excitement. Because I loved that Chelsea Gone Missing week and Who's the Daddy.
Yeah.
And now we're just left with Who the Daddy. And to be honest, I don't really care.
I don't really care now either.
Exactly. Yeah. But I did love what you noticed, which is because no one could be mean to Blake because he was a slave.
Yeah.
So they're just like, of course it wouldn't you, Blake.
No, even if it was, it'd be lovely, wouldn't it? It'd just look like just like you with the blanket and everything.
If I was Blake, I would have been a bit offended.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't it be me?
It could have been. Yeah. Because I'm homeless, my willy still works.
Also, sometimes Brad turns into Blake, doesn't he?
Yeah.
There's a bit of character assimilation in their sort of, now they're both like wide-eyed, innocent, can do no
Brad
wrong
is
angels.
So cute though. When she said,
he's
the new
Blake.
You would have like been cross with me. And he went, cross? I'm never cross. And she went, oh yeah, no, that's true, you're not.
Yeah, he is becoming
so sweet,
a bit too good to be true.
Yes, he is.
So I hope they put some dirt on him sometime.
Aww.
Lucy. Well, otherwise he'll become. Otherwise, the trouble is, if you're too good, you become a bit boring, don't you?
Yeah.
But yeah,
you
no,
become
I mean,
Kirsty is what it was you become.
Yeah, exactly. Good. It was good to hear Blake. Good to hear he's doing all right.
Yes. I was confused though about the Monty's own. Monty's own dog shelter.
Oh, well, I got confused, Lucy. Is Blake's dog...
Is that the same dog shelter?
Is it the same? I don't think it is.
Are we going to do a big... Because all the poor doggies that were bought in...
His was an animal shelter.
Yeah.
But then Linda's was a dog shelter.
But he said they have domestic dogs there too. But then he was telling her about it. And if she'd known about
it
he wouldn't
have been...
No, it must have been different because he wouldn't have been telling her about it if she'd got...
No,
her dog from there.
I thought, are they suddenly raising money for the dog shelter because of Blake? Because Blake's there. Oh. It was all a bit, it wasn't very clear, was it?
Are we going to do, I know I do some writing for a pet insurance thing. So I have to write quite a lot about legislation that's coming in for domestic animals. And apparently the shelters are completely swamped with animals that are being returned after lockdown.
Post-lockdowns. Sad.
And also they're bringing in regulations to licensed dog charities and rescue charities because quite a lot of them are just well-meaning people who, you know... The thing is, if you are known as that woman that looks after dogs, then when people, you know, find a pigeon with an injured wing, they leave it on your doorstep and then they'll put a litter of kittens on your doorstep and it very, very, very rapidly gets out of control for poor people who are sort of... Trying to help, but they don't want to say no, but at the same time, they really can't deal with it. So they're trying to bring in legislation to stop all these animal shelters.
I wouldn't
just
take
sort of
a pigeon in. I wouldn't. Definitely not.
I looked after a magpie.
Oh, that's different. Mm. That's different.
Why is it different? It isn't really, is it?
Pigeons are all fat and yucky. Magpies are sort of intelligent and interesting.
Mm. This was.
Like, if that would be like a play. You could write a play about it and the magpie would symbolise your soul or something.
Okay.
A bit like the painting symbolises whatever it was supposed to symbolise.
Betrayal.
Betrayal.
Lily.
Sorry, anyway, go
I
on.
Am very much looking forward to hearing, I don't think we ever will now, Russ and, oh, for God's sake, Adam in a scene together. Can you imagine?
The anger.
The level of...
They just wouldn't get
seething
anywhere.
Fury.
It would just bounce off each other.
How are you, Russ? I'm so tired. So am I.
I sold my painting to the animal shelter.
I hate animals.
In aid of other little bitches.
That's what they should have done. That's
I'd love to do that, but I haven't got time.
I don't have a... I've only got a... I can't paint Ian. No one would buy it. Did I like it?
The Russ and Lily stuff. I thought Russ really did show his true colours.
Yes.
As he was so aggressive,
yes.
Wasn't he?
Yeah.
And actually, when he was like, I gave up everything for you to come and live in a stately home for free.
Yeah.
With a schoolgirl and her sexy mum. And they gave me a job and everything, but I gave it all up. You know, and it's like, exactly. Look what you gave up, a wife you didn't like to come and have this amazing life.
Yeah.
And you didn't give up anything. You just got.
Yes. Yeah.
And
Lily, meanwhile, gave up a university education.
Exactly.
And, you know, she's never going to get those teenage years back again. And they were spent nursing a neurotic middle-aged...
That's the thing. Give
hipster.
Her a break, Russ, because you took away all her chances of sleeping with other guys for a bit. You know, like, it's like... It's
cock blocker.
You cock blocker.
But so that's fair enough, isn't it? He should have more sympathy. He's always sort of been saying, you know, I feel bad because you gave up uni for me and all that sort of stuff. But he clearly doesn't.
But also what fascinated
I don't really
me
want him
was
to go, though.
One of his first go-to kind of complaints was, my mummy and daddy don't love me. My mummy and daddy don't think I'm as brilliant as they used to because of you.
Well,
and
no,
I thought,
that's but no, but that was disgusting because it's not because of you, Lily. It's because of you, Russ, that preyed on
you
a student.
You manipulated yourself into the knickers of a schoolgirl. That's what you did.
And you just callously left your wife for a schoolgirl.
Yeah.
So it's nothing to do with Lily. I mean, that's the thing, is that take a good look at yourself, Russ. It made me not like Russ. I mean, I don't like him anyway, but I really like his character. And no, I don't like his character. I like his... I like his press performances, so I don't want him to leave.
Someone said how much, like, I've hurt my voice now doing those Russ and Adam. Someone said how much like Rob he sounded.
Oh, yeah.
When he managed to sort of manipulate it. So she was going, oh, no, Russ, I'm sorry, without thinking, hang on a minute, mister.
Yeah. When he went, stop apologizing. Yeah. I'm sorry.
And then
he
said, don't beg. And she said, I was asking. You know,
mind you, she was
stop
a bit
begging.
She was a bit. I kept going, shut up, Lily.
Yeah.
Just walk away. He's he's not worth it.
Well, Lily and Alice between them. Sorry.
Apology voices. I know, but I'd be like that as well. Mm. I'm just so sorry. I'm sorry. But what else can you say? And then you just become annoying, don't you? Yeah. It is annoying when someone's constantly going, I'm sorry, I'm just sorry. Because you're like, actually, the best thing to do is give someone time, isn't it, to cool down and think about it. But I really don't want Russ going, but I feel like maybe he is now. Mm. I mean, honestly, Lucy, who's going to run the gallery? It gets one visitor a day.
We could probably manage the gallery in the same way that we've managed it for the last 10 years, i.e. not at all, by forgetting it's there until we needed it to be there. The same way we manage the hydroponics, where those poor little hydroponds are swimming around all on their own.
It's been
no
drained.
One's fed them for years now. It's just full of Jazz's homebrew bubbling away.
One thing that I did find quite interesting, though, with David and Kenton while they were doing their new podcast, which was I had it recently with my sister. I was talking to my sister about stuff, and she said, do you remember when blah, 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 mum did this and blah, blah? And I had no, literally no memory of it at all. And then I said something like, do you remember?
and she had no memory of it. Mm. And we have got completely different memories. Mm. And I was astounded at things she was saying. My brain had been wiped. I couldn't believe it, Lisa. I must be that old that my brain has started dropping.
No, it's just every one of your children,
will form a different memory.
Will have had different parents.
Yeah. Well, all right, Lucy. Because don't spill the beans.
Sorry. Well, it's about time. I've emailed Rufus. Because they will remember the things that annoy or they love in you, each of them, the things that each of them love or are annoyed by in you will be completely different to what the others love and are annoyed by in you. And when they talk, it'll be like they've all had different parents. Because they'll all remember different bits. They'll all remember, you know, so you can't, although you have this incredible link with your siblings because you've had the shared experience of the childhood, each of you has such a different relationship with the parent, and the way they responded to you was so different that you've had different parents.
Yeah. It's really interesting. So actually I found the, you know, when David was like, you know, when you scratch dad's cat, and Kendra was like, I literally don't know what you're talking about. But for David, that was such a such a big memory that it stuck with him. Yeah. So I just did find that a little bit interesting, Lucy.
Mm. Yes.
Did you not? And then this was funny as well. Listen to this.
Do you remember when a pint was £1.30 and a Mars bar was 16 pence? Oh, them were days.
Yes, because the only people with memories are from people from Yorkshire.
No, I think he was trying to do a little bit of sort of street.
Oh, them were days.
No, he's trying to do Yorkshire. He's trying to do like Leonard.
Was he?
Yeah.
I thought he was trying to be street.
No.
Them were days, isn't it? I thought he was trying to do that because then this is how long the awkward silence is after. Just listen. Hang on. Oh, hang on. Sorry, it's gone. Wait. This is the awkward silence.
It's kind of...
I think they were just waiting for a producer to go, Kenton,
why did you do that?
Could you just say those were the days?
For the last 40 years without suddenly pretending to be on Last of the Summer Wine?
Oh, no, I thought he was trying to be all current.
No, he's trying to be all old Yorkshire-y.
Which is why I thought there was a really awkward silence.
Well, there was a really awkward silence, but it was just because he was pretending to be compo, not because he was...
Them weren't days. It sounded like them weren't days, yeah. Oh my God, it really made me laugh. I couldn't believe he'd done it.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It was such a strange week. Hodgepodge.
Well, also the week really should have been, who's the daddy? Who's the daddy? Yeah. Who's the daddy? Who's the daddy? Are you going to have an abortion? It was obviously because I thought they treated the abortion thing really well, but they only gave it 5 minutes.
I know.
Whereas actually, it's such a weighty decision.
Yeah.
It should have been a week of, you know, have you called Mary Stopes? Have you spoken to this counsellor? Da, 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 da. It's not really a decision for, of course it's a decision for Chelsea to do on her own, but she needs a lot of, a lot more guidance
rather than
Tracy
just going, chop, chop, tick tock, times, you know,
I think you'd be a great mum. Like, it's not really helpful, actually.
No, no.
I mean, I know what she was trying to do. I wouldn't know either. Like, of course, you want.
Well, I suppose she's saying, don't.
No, yeah. I will
don't
support
have
you.
An abortion because you think you won't be a good mum, because you'll make it work, whatever, but just...
Yeah, but then that actually confused Chelsea. Yeah. But also, I think as well, to say, I will support you whatever you do, it obviously, that of course you would as a mother, but I feel like if you're in that situation, you need more than what is my gut instinct, because you don't have a gut instinct. Your gut instinct is, I would feel... You know, so it would, you know, that awful sadness around having an abortion.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, to go through with it is, you know, such a life-changing decision. Yeah. So you do, I think, someone like Chelsea, I'm surprised that the Arches didn't have a, you know, here's the number to call if you're going through.
They can't. It's such a contentious issue.
Do you think
issue.
They can?
Yeah.
I mean, you call Mary Stopes.
I think because there's... I just think it's incredibly contentious, and the letters they'll get from this will be phenomenal. With them saying that they've encouraged people to do it, that Tracy was encouraging Chelsea, it's a polarizing issue.
Yeah, yeah, I suppose. Yeah,
and
okay.
and they,
so they can't give out
because nobody.
Counselling, because if you're mind you, to be honest, who's listening to this that's 18? Except for me and you when we were 18. People have got better things to do.
Yeah,
I think I'm having a really troubled decision. I've got a tough decision to make. I'm going to listen to the Archers.
See what they say.
See what they say, because they're really good at impartial advice.
I think it would, it would have to be a charity, but it would have to be one that's unaffiliated to the church.
Right, okay.
Or unaffiliated to any medical things. I think it was just a minefield.
Yeah, you're right,
For them to try and navigate.
But I thought it was, I was surprised they didn't give it more significance this week, but then maybe that was all to do with the Queen. Maybe.
Or maybe it's all going to be next week if she has it or doesn't have it.
God, it's really hard, Pip, though, isn't it?
Pip went in to have one, didn't she, and then changed her mind.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe she needs to speak to Pip.
Exactly. Yeah, you've got to speak to other people.
Chelsea.
Chelsea, I'm very clever. I'm cleverer than you. So I am the person to listen to. If you want someone like... You won't have a baby as gorgeous and beautiful as Rosie. Yours will just be scrawny because he won't be able to look after it. I don't know who this person is talking now. Anyway,
are you having an episode, Harriet?
I am. But I would you? Do you want her to have the baby, Lucy?
No.
Oh, Lucy, I sort of do. I think she will have it, though. I think she will, and I think the father. Because I think if she doesn't, we might never know who the father is.
But I don't even care who the father is now.
Well, it's probably Josh, isn't it?
I've decided it's no one we care about, so I don't care.
I think it's Josh.
Do you? I think it's someone we don't know. I think it's a boyfriend that we don't know about.
But then that's boring, isn't it?
Boring, Mum?
It's boring! Right! No!
God, Mum!
Imagine her in labour.
She sounds like she's in labour all the sodding time. It won't be any different.
Chelsea, come down. You're only 2 centimetres dilated. Just save it, love. Save it.
Apparently, really cross because Mum forgot my starburst.
So that's the Archers
for
the week.
Yeah.
See Will ya. She, won't she?
Bye.
Who is the dad?
Yeah.
But that thing, isn't it, as well, we're not going to care if like, the more, less dramatic it is, the less we care. I mean, I'm much more interested in Lillian's kitchen, and that hasn't been on the air.
Harriet.
I want to know.
What is it you want to know?
I want to see on the Archers website a before and after.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
I love all that stuff.
Okay.
Before and after kitchens. That's what I'm on Instagram for.
Oh, you're a strange little creature, aren't you?
Lily, here's your... Oh, he's so creepy, isn't he, yeah, as well? Your painting. Oh, it is a shit painting as well. How awkward if they do put it in the exhibition, it doesn't sell.
Yes.
I mean, I bet it's shit. I can't believe he's a good painter.
I mean, when Elizabeth said, I'll buy it, and yeah, I was thinking, tens or hundreds or thousands? Because who is going to buy a painting of a woman they don't know by an artist they've never heard of?
Exactly. And also, hasn't he just given it to you? Why do you need to buy
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
I mean, can't you just
He said,
it
is mine. It is mine.
Well, then keep it, love.
Yeah,
keep
exactly.
It.
Yeah.
Sell it yourself.
Sell it yourself. Put it on eBay. 25 quid. Can reuse frame. Collection only. Stupid man.
What did he call it? That's betrayal.
Oh, proboscis or something. It means woman with massive nose that sticks it into flowers. Cow. Right.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yes. Gosh.
Emails.
Yep.
By the way, don't you think I'm doing really well? Don't you, Mum, think I'm doing really well?
You what?
Because what did I do last night?
You had people around for dinner.
No.
You put your microphone in the wrong place.
That was this morning. You don't listen to anything I say to you. I don't even know why I bother talking to you.
Hang on, wait. Did you tell me this morning before I'd had my coffee?
No.
So gone in.
I went
to
on
last
a
night?
Cocktail making workshop last night.
Oh,
and
yes,
you said to me,
did.
We are recording at 9 o'clock in the morning. Oh, is this going to be a problem? And I very bravely, in a bravey way, said,
oh,
no,
sorry,
that will be fine. And it is fine, look.
I'd completely forgotten that you're hungover as shit.
I am. Actually,
and
I'm not too bad.
I think but you were up really early today.
I was, because my daughter went back to university.
So you had hangover,
yep,
emotional
yep,
turbulence,
yep,
and a podcast.
And a podcast.
Me.
With you. I know, you being the biggest stress factor, to be
I'm
perfectly
so sorry.
Frank.
Oh, Lucy, was it fun though last night?
It was great. Yes, I can heartily recommend it. And I made my own cocktail that the man designed for me, and it was delicious.
Ooh. What was it called? Betrayal. Cinnamon chicken.
Oh, it was called.
It was that good. It was that good. You can't remember.
Is it a French 75? That, you know, the normal cocktail with the gin and the thing.
Are you talking
French
to me 75? Or to Charlotte?
No, you.
I don't know. I don't know. I only get a Caipirinha Irish.
A what?
I like the
Caipirinha.
Yeah, I don't really I'm not actually massively into cocktails.
Okay.
To tell the truth.
I like a French 75 because it's quite nice and plain. And I made a cross between a Bramble and a French 75. So it was a Bramble 75 and it was delicious.
And it wasn't even a freebie, Lucy.
It was. No, it wasn't a freebie for us. It was a freebie for me because it was my friend's birthday present.
But you're literally talking about this not because you're... Not because you've been sent it.
Yes, no, I'm talking about it because it was great. It's Gordon Ramsay's kitchen.
Oh.
And you go and you spend an hour with the bloke and he tells you all about all the different drinkies and you try many of them. And then you get slightly above yourself and start thinking that you're really, really good at making cocktails.
And that he really, really likes making them for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. And that he probably fancies you and everything. And... Yes, and then each of you everybody in the group makes their own cocktail.
How cute. That
it's
sounds really
yum.
Nice.
So
really
nice.
Fun.
I can recommend it. But this morning, I have to say, we did get sent something, and this is what has got me through this morning.
Oh, yeah? Coffee?
No, tea.
Oh, I love that tea.
The Babingtons.
Isn't
it gorgeous?
Well, what I like about it is the tins.
I know. I'm totally keeping the tins, but yeah, I know. I'm tempted to just say, where'd you get your tins from? Send us a few tins.
No, I mean, it's lovely tea because, I mean, I love any old tea, but posh tea, yes.
You know
yes,
the
please.
Difference when you make tea with...
Posh tea,
I have Yorkshire... I make leaf tea and I have Yorkshire gold leaf tea
right.
that I use
yeah.
in a teapot, etc., etc. But making it with this, you get like... You just don't get a... flat tea flavour, you get it's really
it's,
different
it's
things
robust.
Going on. Yes.
Yeah.
But just lovely. Mm. And have you tried the herbal, the fruity one?
Well, actually, I actually did give the fruity one to my sister-in-law because I don't like fruity tea.
Ah, okay.
She claims it's delicious.
Yes.
I like the minty one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love mint tea and I love normal tea, but fruit tea I can't really stomach, actually, I have to be honest. But I don't care because the tins are so nice. I would just buy that tea even if I didn't like tea. I just want the tins.
I had the black tea. That's what's got me through this morning.
Yes, yes, I love
the pyramid tea bags, black tea.
Yeah, mm-mm. Delicious. That's the thing. It just tastes much nicer
it tastes
than
more,
a cup of tea.
Yeah, it tastes more rounded and you think, oh, this is an occasion. I am properly looking after myself with this
tea. What's the tea called? Oh, Babington's.
Babington's.
Like Babington House.
It's all very, very poshy-posh. And it's Italian, posh. Isn't it?
What?
It's an Italian, yeah.
Babington's?
I know. It sounds...
Babingtino?
Established 1893. Yes, I'm sure she...
Oh,
yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, 1893.
Yes.
Because I wouldn't say the Italians are massively famous for tea.
No.
Usually you just get a Lipton, don't you? And it's really just tastes of water.
Yes.
Yes. Well, anyway, take a look. You can look online, babingtonsblends.com.
Yes.
Caddies, they're called...
The tea rooms are in the Piazza di Spagna.
No way.
Yeah.
I find that... Oh, yes. Oh, look, if you go on the Instagram. Oh, my God. Did you see a picture of it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so pretty.
Yes. Babington's tea room became the meeting point where the ladies and gentlemen, tired after the visitor occupied for personal reasons in the city centre, could, in a welcoming and pleasant environment, refresh themselves with a consoling cup of tea.
Because
all the people on the Grand Tour would stop
that's
off
right.
there.
Yeah. All the Brits, the annoying Brits who went on that Grand Tour.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, how interesting.
Yes.
I had no idea, though.
Yeah.
Funny, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I tell you what, we could do a visit. Why don't we do a visit?
Yes, that sounds good.
We can put it on our podcast expenses as research.
Yep.
That was so nice, Lucy. Yeah. And we just go and we do a photo and then we come home again.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, we don't.
It.
We stay there for 4 days and then come home again.
That would be fun, wouldn't it?
Let's do it in February when everything's really miserable and it gets dark at half past 10
in the morning. It's actually a great time to go to Italy, February, because actually the sun's coming out and it's lovely. Oh, I'd love to do that. I actually think we might do it.
Yes, all right then.
Shall we?
Babingtons, brace yourselves. We're coming.
If anyone
wants to sponsor us to go to a tea room.
Well, we could go to Babingtons and do a little... We could do a live podcast.
Do we have any listeners in Italy that would like to do a meetup?
Perché io parlo italiano, Lucy, e quindi possiamo fare lo podcast in italiano, no?
Steve Parrott has messaged us and with a message headed the long goodbye. He said, when the sainted Mrs. P and I announce we are leaving a dinner party or small social gathering, I know that there will be at least 20 minutes of further chat as we slowly inch along the hallway onto the doorstep and open the car doors. The outro of Ambridge on the Couch is so like that. Oh, and just one more thing, etc., etc. Not complaining, just making an abstract observation. It is just like that.
It's because... It's like when you're at a party, you know, you don't bother. I never bother speaking to anyone properly, except at the end.
Yeah.
When you're saying goodbye.
Yeah.
Then you speak to the people that...
You say, well, before I go, what did happen about so-and-so? And then 20 minutes later, you're pinned up against the wall and they're still talking and you think, ah.
It's like this podcast. We have to talk about the Archers for the first bit, which is fine.
Yeah.
But when we get to the end, we can just talk about
then we
our
forget
lives
that we're
to
still
each
recording.
Other.
That's the problem.
We can talk about going to Italy. so excited.
Elizabeth Campion has made very, very trenchant comments about Chelsea. She says, I love the podcast and hope you don't mind me saying that the funniest bit of the latest one was Harriet misspeaking and saying that angels were fleeing the Queen. It made me wonder what she'd done to terrify them. Anyway.
Oh, God, somebody else sent me the proper what he'd actually said and it was basically the opposite of what I said. Embarrassing.
The Queen's fleeing the angels.
Also, I was trying to do it so earnestly and respectfully.
That's the problem. As soon as we try and do earnest, it goes all
it's
wrong.
It's awful. It's
We're
awful.
Not made for earnestness. It's... Anyway, earnesticity. I am certain, she says, the father of the baby is Ben. And we'll probably end up looking very silly for being so sure. Having just caught up with the months of June and July, Ben went to the rave when he was devastated about the Beth-Steph mix.
Yes.
He was single at the time and at the rave got so drunk that Josh had to look after him. Chelsea turned up with Russ at one point. They met Lily, and Chelsea was wearing Russ's jacket because she'd allegedly had drink spilled on her own clothes. An embarrassed conversation about something Russ couldn't remember could cover Russ accidentally discovering Chelsea comforting Ben, who might have spilled something over her because he was so out of it and wouldn't remember in the morning. Chelsea would be glad Russ didn't remember that. I also remember a scene where Chelsea waitressed for Beth and Ben at some point, which for some reason increased my conviction that it's Ben's. The one point against it is that Beth and Ben have recently had issues about Ben being unfaithful, and I think Beth and Ben are going to end up together long term. Apologies for the length of this prediction and all the best. Thank you, Elizabeth.
God, that would be very exciting. Oh my God, I don't think I could bear any more.
No, Ben, Beth, Beth.
I thought I could trust you.
Yeah. I've been hurt before, my... Ben.
Just
I can't
go.
Believe you've Just done this go. To me again.
I thought it was going to be an archer.
I'm going to move in with Steph and become an Instagrammer. A depressed Instagrammer.
I'm doing a
I'll
kitchen
just show
renovation.
Show everyone how shit my life is.
That's an extraordinarily interesting and probably correct.
Yes.
Revelation.
I don't know. I still think it's someone we don't know.
Well, it's too boring to think like that, Lucy.
Well, yeah, I am boring.
Just boring.
Right, Steve in the Scrubs has emailed. First in, most importantly, Josh Archer is now on Doc Martin and he doesn't look like that. Secondly, I appreciate I'm a week behind and it may have changed. The rights and wrongs of Russ's grooming aside, Lily is struggling to maintain the moral high ground in the current situation. All for now, and I wait with interest whether Ambridge has yet heard about the death of the Queen, and if not, how not? Regards, Steve. Yes. I think we're going to have a funeral bit, aren't we?
Yeah, because there wasn't. Because it was only fleetingly mentioned. Yeah. So they're obviously going to do a big thing, aren't they?
Yeah.
Wonder if there is going to be one on Monday. Let me have a look on Sounds. But I just wondered. I assume there is, but it's going to be because it's the funeral on Monday. Is there going to be the Archers?
I reckon it could be Alan wanging on.
Oh, it is. There is. Don't worry, guys. Everybody, we're fine.
Phew!
Yeah.
I take
that. Oh, Sheila's in it. Sheila's in it on Monday.
A Centre Parks situation. You can listen to the Archers, but you're not allowed to talk about the Archers afterwards. Richard Keeling says, I was nodding furiously in agreement with you last week. It's no good nodding, Richard. We can't hear you. When you were saying how good the previous week had been with the storyline of Chelsea going missing, I think I know why it was such a good week. There were very few actual members of the Archers in it. If I have to hear Kenton bang on about Shula moving to Sunderland one more time.
Well, you did.
Yes. At the risk of making the list of potential fathers for Chelsea's baby longer than the recent leadership bid, I'd like to throw another hat in the ring. Oh, God.
Boris
Richard,
Johnson.
Is it you? We can obviously rule out Russ, although I do hope he still does one and leaves for good. And Josh does seem a strong contender after the This Is An Episode With Josh And His Dad To Make You Think He'd Make A Good Dad episode. Oh, blimey, I never even thought about
clever.
That. However, Ben was also at the rave and was heartbroken and drunk. Oh!
Wow, good.
Wasn't
Everyone's
there a scene
back.
Where Chelsea gave Ben extra sandwiches or something when Ooh. Him and Beth were having afternoon tea at Lower Loxley? That's what Elizabeth was just trying to remember. That's basically third base in Ambridge, he says.
Yeah.
Plus, what better time to find out you drunkenly knocked someone up than when you're happily back together with your girlfriend and you moved in together? Beth and Ben split up and Beth falls into the arms of Josh. Or is that all a bit Emma Grundy?
Because there was that scene with Beth and Ben and the afternoon tea.
Yeah. As we're getting rid of Shula for a year, can we please have Blake in her place? I loved hearing the friendship between him and Chelsea. Actually, make that the friendship between him and Tracy and Jazza as well. He is one of the best... Sorry, make that the friendship. He is one of the best characters, so why do they keep teasing us with the odd episode here and there? And yes, I am going to mention it. I was certain we would find out who the grey man was when I heard Blake was back. Once again, I've been let down. Loving your work, Richard.
The grey man is actually the owner of the animal shelter.
Yeah.
It's all going to kick off.
He is one of the animals. He's a donkey. It's a grey donkey. I think that when they find Kenzie, who they keep referring to, so we haven't forgotten about him.
Kenzie.
Yeah. When we find Kenzie, they'll have bust the whole thing wide open and they'll have found out who the grey man was.
In about a year.
In about
probably.
A year, when we've all forgotten about it. Going, grey what? What? What's happening?
Who's Kenzie? So he's the father of Chelsea's child? He was now one.
Right. Laurie Jones. Laurie the genius. That Russ guy is a big jerk and Lily is well rid of him. He seduced her when she was still in her teens, dragged her away from kids her age and upended her young life and then most of the time treated her like shit and she finally got tired of being treated like shit and acted like a normal young person by getting drunk and having some pleasant random sex. Big deal. Grow up, Russ. So the girl acted normal one time since you preyed on her and then, of course, you were grooming Chelsea. Anyone could see that. Why else did you get all excited about going to a rave? Now you are the one who is the victim? What a creep. Lily should burn that stupid painting and be done with you and go and have some fun for the first time since she met you. Good riddance. Blimey, Laurie. Laurie has...
You're not going to buy the painting then, Laurie?
Laurie's getting a little bit ambivalent, you know. Not sure which side of the fence she's on. Oof. Yes.
Yeah, agree with all of that though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, lots and lots of... We are on Wednesday... coming.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh
we god. Are doing a chatty chat on Zoom with our Patreons. And so the rest of the inbox is full of our Patreons saying, oh yes, I will try and be there and I cannot be there and I
How
have
do they
to...
know we're doing that?
Because I've emailed them. Yeah.
Oh, well done.
Yeah. So I will then, at nearer the time, very near the time, I will email out a link, a Zoom link for you all to go
on. A bit nervous, Lucy.
So am I.
I'm going to be red-faced.
That's nice.
Rushing back home.
Well, I've said 8:15, so you've got time to...
Have a glass of wine.
Have a glass of wine, brush your hair and have a fag. And then
brush my teeth at least.
Yeah. Yes, because we don't want a ponky breath on the
smelly.
Zoom.
No, that would be very exciting.
Yes. So people have emailed in some questions already, mostly for Jeff, annoyingly, but anyway.
I'm really happy just to nod. Yeah, I'm going to try and be really earnest.
Oh, good. That's just what we need.
I'm going to try and be really earnest and wanky.
Yeah.
Talk about my motivation.
And your motivation.
No, I'm going to talk about my motivation mm-hmm. yeah. for the podcast, etc.
Yeah.
Super objectives, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like how I get into character when we do a scene in the Average on the Couch, etc. How I get into character. I quickly have a look at your script and then read
and then
it.
Go, shit, shit. Susan. Christopher. Oh, yeah, okay, right.
Exactly what I do.
While fending off a child with one hand and
I'm
shouting.
I'm coming. Wait a minute. Christopher. Oh, they braise. Yes, fine. Just five. Do you have one? Have three? Okay, fine. Yeah. Four. Christopher.
It's in the drawer. No, the other drawer. Forgot. Just leave it.
Where's your father? Anyway, the braise. That is my Saturday.
Yep. All very professional here, chaps. Like a well-oiled machine.
I've got to go and take someone to gymnastics.
Okay.
Is it me? Am
I
out?
I want to go to gymnastics.
Wouldn't it be fun?
No. Right. That's it for the emails. And now let's go over to Radio Borsetshire.
Radio Borsetshire.
Colin, the funeral has all been very trauma and I think I would like a massage. Can you arrange for me, please? No, but it is what she would have wanted, Colin, I feel sure. She would not want me to have Erty back. Just ear is all tense with all the sad. No, not there, ear. Where are you pointing? Oh, now. Hello, this is Fabrice of Felpersham, looking like I have just stepped out of the salon, because I have. Today is a sad day, as I have just come back from the queue to see the Queen of England and pay my respect. I had a lot of respect for her. Always she looked very smart and her hair never moved. I think she probably had share in Elnet. And she wore colour of all ice cream flavour. I think also we have a lot in common. She had to smile at a lot of people she didn't like, work with people who probably got on her nerve, like Donald Trump and Tess Daly, and really wanted to be at home watching the TV with feet up and a glass of gin, watching Bake Off and shouting, "Don't mess about with the recipe now, it is too late. What are you doing, you bonker?" But she did not, because of duty. Like me, when I have to do corn or give someone graduated bob when I know it will make them look like the moon in a wig. I tried to explain this all to Kelly Marie, who say, well, if she didn't like doing it, she should just not do it. And I say, no, she had to, because it was her responsibility. Kelly Marie say, if I give her responsibility, it make her feel panicky and stress, and she have to go out and have some more vaping, and then she come back in smelling like a raspberry on fire. So I think some of us understand the Queen, the ones that know what we have to do, even if we do not want to do it. So that is why I went to the queue. I did not know what was correct clothing to wear, so I wore full mourning as sign of respect, but my top hat got knocked off by a man on a unicycle. There were lots of other worries for me too, because I am not so good at queuing as the English people. In Eurovisia, there is just a big fight, and whoever is still stand at end gets the chicken. Anyway, in England, you have to stand and shuffle along, and you have to make friend with the people in front of you and behind you so you can smile at them and say, I am sorry, would you mind looking at my place in the queue while I go to a toilet? And they say, oh, yes, of course, that's fine. And then you do the same, and you both laugh a bit embarrassed at having to do a wee. Then if someone have bought some clever thing like an umbrella or flask, you say, oh, that is good. I wish I had thought of that. Or, are you sure there is only tea in that? Ha ha. And then the next person come along and they say, are you sure there is only tea in that? Ha ha ha. And it make everyone in your bit of the queue feel happy that they are in the nicest bit of it. Then there will be a bonker who will come along and play bagpipe or wear funny clothes, and everyone say, oh, there's always one, isn't there? And then smile a bit worried in case the bonker really is a bonker and won't go away again. But then the police will say, that's enough of that, mate, off you go. And we all cheer the police. Oh, I don't know why. David Beckham was there in the queue, and he was very gracious to say no when I offered him a bit of my sushi, but that was probably because I had spilled a little bit of my soya latte in the tray. But Philip Schofield, who is so very brave, and Olobi Willoughby went straight past into VIP queue, and everyone went, even me, which show I have been in England a long time, because in Eurovisia, someone would have vaulted the barrier and rugby tackled Philip to the ground. Anyway, when I got to the catapult, I said goodbye and thank you to the Queen for all her openings and for not being fed up of having the same picture of herself on stamp and not being able to update it like WhatsApp profile. And for being good role model of dedication and, most important, doing what you don't want to do without making a big fuss about it. So that is today's message from Febreze. Be more queeny. It is character building. Thank you, Queen Elizabeth II.
Radio Borsetshire.
It's, oh God! You.
Oh, sorry, Lucy. I've taken. Look, if I don't speak, just do something.
Okay. I was Start just a staring, small fire.
I was
something.
Staring. I was staring into space, waiting to hit the breeze. Thank you, the breeze.
I haven't written it yet. How are you going to hear it?
I know. God. I was thinking about stuff. Yeah. If you'd like to visit patreon.com and look up Ambridge on the Couch, you can support us at any subscription level and join us for a live Zoom.
Yay!
You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, at On Ambridge. See what you've done there, Lucy. Febreze is at Fabulous Febreze, or you can email us at ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com.
And now over to Matt Rodriguez Payne, who, after a suitably bonkers week in Ambridge, has produced a suitably bonkers theme from a suitably bonkers film.
Ooh. Can I actually just go?
Yeah.
And that means I can excitedly listen on Sunday.
Yes.
And I will be very, very, very impressed, I'm sure.
Okay. Go and do the splits.
Okay. Sorry. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Right. This, I'm going to carry on yakking now. This is this I think is very apposite for the Archers because Elizabeth Hurley is in this film, and I always think of Elizabeth Hurley as Elizabeth Bargeter. So the film is Austin Powers, and brace yourselves, chaps, and we will hopefully see you on Wednesday. There won't be a show next week because I'm away. So the Patreon chatty chat will take the place of the show, and then we'll be back to normal again weekend after. Anyway, here is Austin Powers, Archers. Yeah.